Good to be back at Macedonia Church tonight. Certainly good to see each and every one of you. We certainly enjoy coming this way. We've enjoyed the services thus far, enjoyed the good supper and the wonderful time of fellowship together. That's a wonderful thing that we have in the Gospel Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the fellowship that we have and enjoy one with another. And our fellowship with one another is because of the fellowship that we have with the Father and with the Son. And we fellowship around that commonality of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've said a lot of times, we're from different walks, we have different interests, we have different hobbies, we have different occupations and things of that nature. But I'm glad that in the house of the Lord and in the service of God and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can feel as one and we can have a unity and a binding together. Amen. Because of Christ. He is that center. He is that bind that binds us. He is that adhesiveness whereby that we can fellowship around the things of our Lord and around the Scriptures, around the Gospel, and there is nothing that is any better. Certainly glad to be here tonight. It's good to be here in service with Brother Luke Laird, and enjoyed his preaching, and here at Macedonia and you other elders, and appreciate Brother Will and Brother Ricky. And so just pray for us tonight as we endeavor to try to go into the Scriptures and look and try to bring forth that we trust that the Lord would be pleased with tonight. Brother Luke came across in preaching and about the subject matter of us continuing on and keeping on and going again and not giving up and so forth. And he came across the expression that concerning that the just shall live by faith. And of course, that's the very scripture. That's the word of God. We find that in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 17. And I'll read verse 16 also. That says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Tonight, for just a little while, if the Lord would help me to do so, I'd like to talk about a practical faith. I'd like to talk about an unwavering faith, a manifested faith, a gospel faith. And let me just say this before I get into that, that unless a person has been born of the Spirit of God, unless an individual has been regenerated, they do not have the nature of faith. Amen. They don't have an intrinsic faith. They don't have an innate faith. They don't have an inherent faith. Now, those are words that our old writers used back, our primitive Baptist forefathers, and in writings used to describe a faith that is imparted in regeneration. The Scripture teaches us that all men have not faith. And these are the same ones that you know, the Bible is a wonderful explainer of itself. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The Scripture will interpret the Scripture. Just before he said that all men have not faith, he said, "Brethren, pray for us that God would deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. Alright, so who are the ones under consideration that don't have faith? Wicked and unreasonable men. The scripture explains itself right there. So one that is not born of the Spirit of God does not have that spiritual nature and therefore cannot produce the fruit of faith because they don't have the Spirit. Amen. The Christ is not in them, the hope of glory. They are not born from above. Therefore, they don't have the ability to believe or trust or have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and have no desire for the teaching of the Scripture and any instruction in righteousness. Now, we know and understand that the very strictest definition of the gospel would be the gospel, the good news of the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. But when we speak of gospel in a general term, we're speaking of the Scriptures. Amen. All of the Scriptures of the Bible. For we believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, that they are the Word of God, and that they are our only rule of faith and practice. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Now, what did he just say here? For wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When a person has been born of the Spirit of God, when God has worked in them, when God has worked the will, which is the desire, and has worked the do, which is the ability, amen, within them, then they are able to operate out of that nature. It doesn't mean that we always do. It doesn't mean that we always do it perfectly, for we do not. Amen. But that desire and that ability is there in that new nature, that born again, that creation. Amen. That creation, that's what the new birth is. It is a creation. Amen. That God creates and man has nothing to do with it. Just like man had nothing to do with the natural creation, man has nothing to do with the spiritual creation. And that spiritual creation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, after he has worked in us, the will and the do, the desire and the ability to do, then we can learn from the Scriptures, amen, from reading and prayer and meditation. But God has ordained and has ascribed preaching as a great means in the gospel kingdom. The gospel preaching is no means whatsoever in the regeneration of God's people. But I tell you, gospel preaching is a great means of imparting truth and information and feeding the flock of God which is among us, that we should do, that we should teach God's people. That's one of the qualifications of an elder, is that they have to be apt to teach. If a man doesn't have the ability and hasn't showed forth that he has a gift to teach God's people, to give the sense and make the people to understand. You know, I've said a lot of times, it's strange to me, but one of the best texts I've found in the Bible is an Old Testament text in Nehemiah 8:8 to describe what preaching ought to be. Amen. It wasn't only good then, but it's good now. Amen. Of what preaching should be. Amen. To read distinctly from the book and to give the sense, amen, of what you've just read or what you quoted and make the people to understand. Amen. God, help us to do that. God, give us the ability as gospel preachers that we would exhort, that we would admonish God's people unto living by faith and the exercise of faith. You read of all the old patriarchs there in the hero of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. 11. It goes through there and it says about every one of them, by faith. This is because they were born again and they had faith within them, but they exercised that faith. They used that faith. Now, someone would say, "Preacher, what about the text that says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God?" Well, it certainly does. Amen. That's scripture. It certainly does. But I tell you, intrinsic, innate, and inerrant faith, original faith, it doesn't come through the preaching of the gospel. The faith that comes through the hearing of the gospel, amen, is an faith of trusting and believing and encouragement, a manifestation. It is a gospel faith, amen, that is exercised. Brethren, I'm doing my best right now to lay it right down the line, amen, and to rightly divide the scripture and lay it out like it is. I would to God that His people all over, amen, this world could understand the difference between those things and a whole lot of other things in the Bible. It would be a great liberation unto them. It'd be a great blessing unto them, amen, to understand these wonderful truths and these wonderful things in rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, how important that is. As I said before, I'm a firm believer in allowing the scripture to interpret the scripture. And when He says the just shall live by faith, where does that come from? Well, the Apostle Paul, he's writing by inspiration, but he's also quoting Old Testament texts. He's quoting from Habakkuk 2:4. Amen. I think it would do us good just to turn over there for just a moment. And I certainly can't get real bogged down or weighted down in Habakkuk. That'd be a good study, but that would be a good hour on Sunday morning. All right. And so it wouldn't be expedient right now. But I can just give you a little brief summary in this to connect it, if the Lord would be our helper and our strength. Habakkuk is the prophet of the Lord, and the Lord is telling Habakkuk and giving him this information about the judgment that God is going to bring down, suffer to come down upon the nation of Judah through the Chaldeans, which are the Babylonians. Alright, that's what God is going to do. And God is telling Habakkuk this. And God teaches him this in these first two chapters. And finally in the last chapter, Habakkuk is humbling himself and submitting, amen, unto what the Lord, amen, is telling him. Habakkuk has a real problem from a national standpoint, if you please, for those Chaldeans and Babylonians. They are arch enemies of Israel. And Habakkuk's having a real problem that God, amen, is going to use, that God is going to suffer. God is going to remove the hedge and use these Chaldeans as a form of chastisement to come down upon Judah. Habakkuk, he comes across and he's saying, "Lord, these people are wicked. Lord, these people are this and they're that. And oh, this is not going to look good that they're going to do this to your people." But the Lord, He gives Habakkuk some instructions and teachings concerning this. And like I said, we don't need to get into all of that. But if you'll notice in chapter 2 and verse 4, He says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him." Here the Lord is talking about, amen, the Chaldeans. No, they're not upright. They're prideful. You see, the Chaldeans, the Lord then will judge them because they're prideful. The Chaldeans, in thinking that they themselves will be brought a victory against Judah. They don't realize it is because the Lord has suffered and will deliver Judah for chastisement into their hands. They get uplifted and prideful about it and thinking they've done something. You know, thinking that they've done something great. They wouldn't have done that if God hadn't suffered. Amen. If God had not permitted that, if God had not used them as a means of chastisement there, they wouldn't have been able to do that. And so they're going to be lifted up. They're going to be prideful. But in contrast to that, here is your expression at the end of that verse, of verse 4. But Now, anytime you see the word but, it's in contrast. All right? I notice that. But the just shall live by his faith. All right, notice that. God is telling Habakkuk, listen, these Chaldeans, they're going to be prideful. They're going to be uplifted in themselves, thinking that they have done this. But the attitude that Judah should have toward this is that they should humble themselves and recognize and realize that they brought this down upon themselves for their unbelief and their mistrusting of the Lord, and for their weakness that they had entered into and had forsaken the Lord their God. And what they would need to do, amen, would be once again to exercise their confidence and their trust and their belief in the Lord, and in doing so, turn to Him. And that's how this great principle and teaching here, that the just shall live by faith. God's people, we don't live by thinking that it's our ability. I want to tell you, pride and haughtiness, it comes before a fall. And the Bible teaches us that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. The teaching is for God's people that we should exercise our faith and that we should live consistently and constantly in a keen consciousness and awareness of our trust and our dependency and our very confidence, giving and looking is to the Lord and not to ourselves. The just shall live by faith, shall live by, he said, his faith. And when Paul writes it, the just shall live by faith. And this faith that is under consideration here, it is not to be a wavering faith. But now before I get to that, I want to say this. The faith that God imparts in regeneration, it can't be improved upon and it can't be enlarged upon. But now, the faith that you exercise from that nature, from that spiritual nature, at times it can be small. At times it can just nearly not be there. Because if you'll go to your concordance and if you'll look up the word faith and just go through the Gospels and look at the things and expressions that Jesus spoke of, a lot of times Jesus talks about and tells the people they had no faith, little faith, and sometimes he says great faith. Now, it's not the faith in regeneration that's got any smaller or any larger. That's not what's under consideration. What's under consideration is the exercise of your faith, the expression of your faith, that's the gospel faith, that faith that cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. There are times when we display and manifest and don't have feeling of hardly any trust or confidence or belief in the Lord. We would have to be like that man that said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Alright? And then there might be times that we might feel great confidence and great trust in the Lord. But oh, don't get prideful and uplifted in that. Amen. That you're doing that. You praise the Lord. You give the Lord the honor and the praise and the glory for that. But God's people should have an unwavering faith. Our faith, it needs to be kindly on a plane of stability all along. But so many times it's like this. It's like this. It's like the waves. And that's what the Lord talks about. Notice in Psalms, the 93rd division, Psalms 93. Listen to this. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of
many waters. I want you to notice, we have many things that noise, many things that chatter, that comes against us, we hear the pridefulness, we hear the sound, we hear the roaring. The Bible says Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yes, we have an adversary. You know, many, many years ago, there was an association that divided a whole lot of people over the question, is there a real devil or not? Now, my goodness, how can you read the Bible and come to any kind of conclusion that there's not a real devil? Amen. The Bible says that we have an adversary, and it tells us it's the devil. Amen. It's the devil. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'll tell you what, if you don't know that there's a real devil, I don't know where you've been. Yeah. And I tell you, must truly have a head in the sand. Oh, he comes in many forms, shapes, and fashions, does he not? Oh, yeah, even transformed himself into an angel of light to deceive and to trick and all of these type things. Oh, yes, and it's, the Lord said to Peter, Satan desires to have you, Peter, to sift you as wheat, but nevertheless I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and with our converted strengthen the brethren. Did Peter's faith waver? Yes, we see it waver many times. Oh, but we can see a restoration. We can see conversion. Oh, my friend. Oh, living by faith will bless us and help us to have the conversions along life's way that we need. I ain't talking about regeneration. You can only be born again one time. Amen. But we can have many conversions as we go through this life. Oh, and God help it to be so. But all of these things are by faith. They're through trusting and having confidence and belief steadfast in our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we know the waves, they're just up and down. I think old Brother James had something to say along this line, and I'd like to start in verse 1 and read down to this, but I don't have time. But just let me start with verse 5 of James chapter 1. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What's under consideration here? If God's people, God's born again people, if we like wisdom, oh yes, we need wisdom. We don't need worldly wisdom. We need godly wisdom. We need the wisdom of God, the wisdom from God. And that's from God's word and the meditation upon God's word and listening to good sound gospel preaching. God, I want to tell you, sitting under the sound consistently of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll take care of a lot of ills. Amen. As we live right here in this life, it'll take care of a lot of spiritual sicknesses, if you please. Oh, yes. I want to tell you, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Now, I don't want to bring up I don't know what side you're on there, but I don't believe that's talking about physical sickness right there in the strictness of the context. Now, I believe in prayer at any time, and I believe in praying. Amen. But in this context right here, amen, I believe where the elders are going to do good for folks and praying for them and anointing them with all this anointment, amen, of the gospel. It's just like the Lord said, amen, of the church at Laodicea. What they needed was their eyes anointed with the eyesight of the gospel. Oh, how we need that. We need our eyes anointed with the eye. There's healing. There's healing under the sound of the gospel and the preaching. Amen. Of the gloriousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And even in being reproved and corrected and rebuked and exhorted and getting this instruction in righteousness, it will help us and bless us to exercise our faith. This faith will come, amen, under the sound of the preaching of that gospel. Now, you always remember this. If there's no faith there, there's no faith to come. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. If faith hadn't been given in regeneration, then it's not there to rise up in you. Amen. How many times have you been sitting under the sound of the gospel? And oh, it's just like heaven. You lift it up and you feel like
heard Brother Ricky say before, you know, charging hell with a water pistol. Like Brother Ronnie Loudermilk talked about old Brother Marvin saying, swinging over hell on a grapevine. In other words, you just feel like that you can leap over a wall. You could go and get the gate to bear them on your shoulders. That comes about, amen, under the sound of the gospel, that uplifting and that edifying and that strengthening. Oh God, we need that. We don't need more presentations. We don't need more PowerPoint presentations. There's plenty of presentations in the world. What we need is the old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching of God sent down from the glory world. That's the only thing that's going to feed the souls of God's people. Amen. It's that which comes from above and proclaiming, amen, the scriptures right and abiding the word of truth and exhorting God's people under righteousness while we live here in this life, but also telling them that's not why you live in glory. It's because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that you'll live with God in glory. But if you won't fellowship with God while you live here, then you better pay heed to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of difference between sonship and fellowship. Amen. A lot of difference between sonship and discipleship. Amen. Oh Lord, our preachers used to lay this out. Amen. Our preachers used to show this. Amen. Show. Amen. These two sides show right and abide in the word of truth. I would to God there was more of it today. There'd be less confusion in the camp of Israel. Amen. There'd be less confusion. Amen. Of God's people. So he says, if you like this wisdom, ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Oh Lord, we need to ask in our praying, amen, in faith, by faith, amen, with trust and confidence in the Lord, believing that God, amen, will perform and do what His Word, what He has obligated Himself to do from His Word. You know, I hear people say God's not obligated to anything. I understand where they're coming from. Amen. But I want to tell you, God has obligated Himself. Amen. To some things. There's some things that God says, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Amen. Oh, and there's great promises. You know, with all of these exhortations and commandments of God and these things where He tells us what to do and how to do, He gives promises that if we'll do them or not do them, of His blessings, and that if we go in opposite of what He teaches, that we'll come under His chastening hand. So if we don't ask in faith, if we're not trusting, if we're not believing, if we're not having our confidence in the Lord, and we're just up and down and wishy-washy and in and out. What does the scripture go on and say? He says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Oh boy, that brings the rubber down the road, don't it? Amen. If we ask with wavering faith, if we not exercising a faith, he says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because what kind of mind is that person in that? Well, the scripture is going to go on and interpret itself. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right. We can't have, you know, we're human beings. We've got an Adamic nature, and we'll contend with that until we're set free from it.
Right.
Sure we will. But, and with that nature, we're so prone to try to have one foot in and one foot out. I'm not talking about an eternal sense. I'm talking about in a practical sense. I'm talking about in discipleship. I'm talking about in dedication. Having a double mind. Just wishy-washy backwards and forth. It's time for God's people to be stable. It's time for God's people to be steadfast. It's time for God's people to be unmovable.
The scripture exhorts us, let us contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's delivered one time and once for all. And God never changes. God has not changed. His word has not changed. What He says is still the same today. And it will never change. Oh Lord, help us more and more to have that mindset. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What was that mindset? It was to do the will of the Father. That was the mindset of Christ. Oh, and yes, we're going to falter. Yes, we are going to fail. But that's where we must rely upon that nature, that new man, that new creation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not mind the things of the flesh. God help us to do that. There's a whole lot of other things that we could say and bring in along these lines. Let me give you one more scripture and then we're going to close. I want you to notice Hebrews 10 and 23. I want you to notice, and I'd like to talk about the background of Hebrews to set the table, but there again, that'd take a while. But just to understand, starting in verse 19, you've got a plea to hold fast to the now faith, the new and living way, as he talks about in here. And in verse 23, let me just say this. Hebrews is a lot of things, but one thing it is, it's a book of warnings. It's a book of warnings to Hebrews that were disciples of Christ, had been converted from Judaism to Christianity, but through conflict and sore trial and tribulation, the Jews persecuted them and the Romans persecuted them. They got persecuted from both sides. The Jews persecuted them because they were Christians, and the Romans persecuted them because they were Christians. Just kind of like the Baptists. After the Protestants got in power, Catholics persecuted, the Protestants persecuted. Got it from both sides. Well, these poor Hebrews was getting it from both sides. And they were getting discouraged. And some of them were kind of throwing up their hands, walking off, quitting, forsaking. And but he says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let's hold fast our profession of faith. Let's hold fast what we've come to understand and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and our trust and our confidence in Him. Let's don't waver. Let's don't turn. Let's don't forsake the Lord. Let's don't deny the Lord. Let's don't turn from the Lord. But let us be steadfast, unmovable, abounding and laboring in the work of the Lord as God blesses us and gives us grace and gives us strength. It's no time to look back to Egypt. There's nothing in Egypt. There's nothing in this world. All we see in this world, society and a system of earthly governments, is chaos and unrest and all of these things. Oh, but I'm glad of a kingdom. That it's not of this world, but it's a spiritual kingdom that is in you, but yet you are to press into it. Amen. We could talk about the different phases of the kingdom. Oh, but thank God for the visible, militant, hostile kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we've come together and God blesses us and lifts us up into that spiritual experience of it, where we enter into that bridegroom chamber and we commune with Him and He communes with us. God bless you, my friend.